So we'll just look together at the first three verses today of Philippians chapter 3. And Paul reminding the Philippian Christians about the theme of the book, which is rejoicing or joy. Most common word in the book is joy and rejoicing. But then he also gives them a beware here in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So our title is, "We Are the Circumcision." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom as we go into your precious word. Teach us, Lord, and I pray you'd guide us in your truth, that we would learn and grow as we understand these things tonight. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Passages like this are the type of passages that the people who believe in covenant theology like to twist. And so that's why it's good that God put these in here so we can understand. What's covenant theology? There are Christians out there who teach that God is finished with Israel, that the church has supplanted Israel, and that they're done. But the problem with that is the hundreds of Old Testament promises that God is still going to keep, and New Testament promises about the kingdom. God is not done with Israel. As you'll see tonight, we are just fortunate enough to be grafted in. But all the promises he will keep to his chosen people, Israel. But before he says all of that, he reminds them, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. One of the most common verses of Philippians 4:4, one of the most well-known is Philippians 4:4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Would be the theme of the book, rejoice. But then he says, but you also need to beware. Beware of people bringing in false doctrine. That was the primary theme of Galatians, wasn't it? Trying to protect them from the Judaizers. He's reminding the Philippians of the same thing, another Gentile church, which needs to be warned about these Jews coming in and teaching that the gospel isn't enough, that trusting Christ isn't enough, but that they have to get circumcised and keep the law to be saved and go to heaven. And so it's been around a little while, hasn't it? And this beware, he's done it a few times. He says in Galatians 5, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed." That's the same Greek word, "that you be not consumed." Colossians 2:8, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men." So Paul's constantly warning his churches, beware. But tonight it's specifically about dogs, evil workers, and concisions. So let's talk about these three. So this word dogs, Paul is doing a play on words. Now we all know from the interchange that Jesus had with the woman that the Jews often referred to the Gentiles as dogs. That was what they thought of them. They thought they were subhuman, basically, and wouldn't even walk through their towns. Which is why, remember, the disciples were so surprised when Jesus walked through Samaria and witnessed to the woman at the well. And then that interchange he had with that woman who said, "Yes, but the dogs still eat the crumbs from the master's table." And then Jesus commended her faith. So what Paul has done is he's turned it around and is referring to the Jews as dogs. Because the Jews, these particular Jews who kept bringing in false doctrine, were now behaving like Gentiles in essentially trying to undo the power of the gospel in these churches. And all three of these are those who would pervert the gospel. The dogs, the evil workers, these Judaizers that come in. And then he says, beware of the concision. That word means to cut. And so it's another way of describing circumcision, that word concision. He says all that to say, we are the circumcision. So he says, Don't be concerned with these dogs and evil workers and concision coming in and telling you that you have to be circumcised, telling you that you have to keep the Jewish ways to be able to go to heaven. You guys are Gentiles, but because you're Christians, you're actually more of the circumcision than the Jews. And the Jews struggled with this in the early church. But God makes this clear. Look at Romans 2:29. We'll look at some scriptures and understand this evening, that when we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, Romans 2:29, we became spiritual Jews. What that means is we are now God's chosen people as well. We're not physical Jews, but we are spiritual Jews. Remember that in the Old Testament, God the Father refers to Israel as his wife. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ refers to the church as his wife. Two different groups of people. Amen? But Romans 2:29, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter. So he's saying the circumcision, it's not about the physical one anymore. It's a spiritual thing. And he explains it in Colossians 2, if you want to turn there. Colossians 2:11. Colossians chapter 2. And this, Paul explains what that means, this spiritual circumcision. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So he actually refers to two separate ordinances there, if you want to call them that. But he's referring to them in the spiritual sense. The circumcision here, and notice he says it's made without hands. This is a spiritual circumcision that takes place when we're born again. And what he's talking about is God essentially cuts away the new man from the old man. That old man gets crucified, right? That's what the Bible teaches. The new man is given life. And he spiritually separates them. That's why we need to stop listening to that old man, because he's dead and we've been circumcised from him. Then he also talks about baptism here. This isn't water baptism. There's no water in any of these epistles. This is talking about the spiritual baptism that takes place at salvation, when we're placed into Jesus Christ. For by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. So in both of these cases, he's taken these two, a Jewish Old Testament ordinance and an Old Testament ordinance and a Christian New Testament ordinance, and given us the spiritual side of those ordinances. So you and I have been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. When we got saved, we were baptized into Jesus Christ when we got saved. It's not talking about the physical ordinance at all. And that's what Paul is explaining, that now that you are Christians, you have been circumcised in God's doctrinal mind's eye, if you will. You have been baptized into the body of Christ. And if you go to verse 3 now, Philippians 3, he explains it further. Which worship God in the Spirit. Who? That's us. Amen? John 4:24, Jesus explained to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We now worship God in the spirit because we have a spirit that has life. Remember, before we get saved, our spirit's dead. There's no life there. Once we get saved, we have eternal life. The Spirit of God has been given life. Look at Romans 8:5. And God explains that now we are Christians, we are going to have a battle until Jesus comes, or until we die. And that battle is between the spirit and the flesh. Notice Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So he says, there's only one preventative medicine when false doctrine tries to creep in. You need to be in the Spirit. Amen? You got to be walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the only preventative medicine when evil workers, when the dogs try to come in and stir up trouble, and it's going to happen. Jesus told us it would happen. Many false prophets are going out into the world. We need to be walking in the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now we're going to talk more about that next week. But what does this mean? It means we cannot trust our flesh. And yet how often do we try to trust our flesh? In other words, you've been teaching a Sunday school class for 10 years. Why do you need to pray about it? You know how to do it. Been preaching for 30 years. Do I need to pray about every sermon? Of course. We got to always do it in the Spirit. Amen? Not in the flesh. And if we are not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, then we're not in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So the only way to be prepared, and it's going to keep happening, and it's going to keep getting worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. Many false prophets are going out into the world, right? Believe not every spirit. 1 John 4:1. Is you got to be in the Spirit, and of course you have to be in the Word as well. Amen? And look at Ephesians 4:14, and we'll see this. We have to stay in God's Word, and we have to be in the Spirit. And you know, there's, I think a lot of Christians try to live their lives as if there's a middle ground. They try to straddle the fence and say, well, I'm going to try to do the Spirit and the flesh simultaneously. And you can't do that. There is no straddling of the fence. You're either on one side or the other. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And God's given us many ways of checking ourselves. But notice Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What is he telling us? We have to mature. We have to grow up in our understanding of God's word, because what's going to happen? There's going to be all kinds of winds of doctrine, and they're going to keep coming. And who, but from who? Cunning, crafty people are going to try to lead us astray. And then one more, Hebrews 5:13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says, rejoice, keep rejoicing. Keep living in the joy of the Lord. Amen. In Nehemiah, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it is. Nothing can take your joy away like the dogs. Like the evil workers who want to come in and lead us away from living in the Spirit. And that's exactly what he says. You've got to be in the Spirit, Philippians. You've got to be keep rejoicing and living in the Spirit of God. Hebrews 5:13, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, I already read that, didn't I? Sorry. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What's God telling us? He wants us to be of full age. Now, he's not talking there about our physical age, is he? He's talking about our spiritual maturity. He's not even talking about how old we are spiritually. I mean, some of us have been saved a long time. I just realized the other day that I just hit 50 years. That's a scary thought. Because I was a teenager. But anyway, it's not about physical age or even spiritual age. It's about spiritual maturity. That's what he's talking about there. Full age, that we're skillful in the word of righteousness, that our senses are exercised to be able to discern good and evil, to be able to see it. That's wrong. That's not scriptural. That's evil. That's not doctrinally true. That's what he wants. So he wants them to be living in the joy of the Lord, but simultaneously on the lookout, beware, beware, beware. Three times he says beware in verse 2. Be on the lookout for false teachers, because it will happen, guaranteed. And the only preventative medicine is to understand that, yes, you are God's chosen people. You have been spiritually circumcised. You have been made one of God's own. You are now a spiritual Jew, which means you get to enjoy the benefits, right? God talks about how we're grafted in like a wild olive branch. So we do get to enjoy the kingdom, but it's still a Jewish kingdom. We do get to enjoy the future city of God, but it's still a Jewish city of God. Why? Because we have been spiritually circumcised, and therefore that makes us spiritual Jews, not physical Jews. We haven't supplanted the physical Jews. We've just been fortunate enough to be grafted in and become part of them. Don't have confidence in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit, or you will be led astray. That's his warning for us. And next week we'll talk more about this confidence in the flesh thing. That's a really powerful statement for us as Christians, because the devil's going to try to trick us into serving God in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. And that's something we always have to watch out for. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word in this beautiful passage. And as you said, Lord, we are the circumcision because we're saved. And you have put us into the body of Christ. And you've given us access to the beautiful promises ahead for Israel. And I thank you for that, Lord. But may we continue to pray for Israel. And Lord, may we continue to tell others how they can also have the Spirit of God, have eternal life, have a home in heaven. And then once they are saved, disciple them, Lord, so that they can learn how important it is that they're constantly walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Thanks for speaking to our hearts. We love